Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and wouldn't go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Amen. 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 So I know we all know this story about the prodigal son. And I think many times we tend to refer to it when we know somebody's like what we call backsliding. And, you know, somebody was, you know, we think this person is falling away. We call them a prodigal. When somebody's son or daughter has, you know, fallen away from the things of God, we call them a prodigal. And we pray and pray that the prodigals will come home. And for the most part, that's how we know this story. And it's true, because the younger son, you know, I think he wanted some freedom. You know, home was a bit strict, maybe. And he thought, you know, my dad's well off. I'm entitled to it, to an inheritance. In those days, the elder son got 2/3 and the younger son got 1/3. So he literally said, Dad, you know, give me my 1/3 and give it to me now. And the interesting thing is, his dad didn't say no. He gave it to him. It says he divided the inheritance between the two of them. So he gave it to him. And then it says not many days after, he packed up and he left. And he went far away, where his dad couldn't get hold of him easily. And he had a good time. And then the money ran out. And the money didn't just run out, but then a great famine arose. Great famines tend to arise when we want to do our own thing away from God. And he began to be in want. And you'd have thought even then that he'd say, all right, you know what? I've messed up. I'm going back home. But he had plan B as well. So the plan B was, I will go and attach myself to a citizen of that country. So he still wasn't planning to come back. And so he did. And he got a job. What was the job? Feeding the pigs. Now, if you're a Jew, you don't get much lower than working for a Gentile, feeding his pigs. And then he got so hungry, he wanted to eat what the pigs, they don't even eat the pigs. Never mind what the pigs eat. So he had sunk as low could get. And then the Bible says he came to himself. And you know, some of us might be praying for someone, a family member, a friend, and we've been praying and praying and praying that they will know the Lord. Don't give up. Know that they will come to themselves. Amen. God will arrange a set of circumstances that will cause them to come to themselves. And when we come to ourselves, then we come home. So they will come home, the ones we call the prodigals. And you know, there are three people in this story. There's the older son, the younger son, and then the father. And when he came to himself and decided to go home, the Bible says when he was a long way off, his father saw him. And he went to him, he ran to him, and held him, and kissed him. I mean, he must have been dirty, stinky. And never mind what he had done to his father. But it says, the Bible says his father went to him and kissed him. And he didn't just do that. He brought him home. He said to the servants, change his clothes, put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. What was that saying? I'm accepting you. You're accepted. Come back. I'm restoring you to be my son. Because the son's plan was to go and tell his dad, just make me a servant. You know, the servants are eating better than I was. But that wasn't the father's plan for him. Unconditionally, he accepted him back. Then there's the older brother. And the older brother, let's call him Mr. Perfect. He'd never strayed from home, always did the right thing. He was working in the fields. Obedient son, never left, never wasted anything. And he heard that some commotion. He thought, why is everybody happy? And the servant said, oh, because your brother came back. Your brother came back, so your dad's having a party. And the Bible says he was what? Angry. He says, I'm not going in. And so his father came out to him, pleaded with him. Your brother's back. Come and join us. And he said, no, I'm not. And then everything in him began to spill out. He was angry with his brother for leaving and wasting his inheritance, but he was angry with his father. And many times we may never leave physically, but he was as lost, if not loster, than his brother. He was lost inside, he was lost in his attitudes. His heart attitudes. You know, sometimes, you know, some sins are, I call them external. T.D. Jakes says something. He says, you know, if you overeat, everybody sees. But if you have another issue, maybe nobody sees that one. And the younger son's issue was very obvious. You know, his independent spirit, his love for freedom, so he'd gone and he'd messed up big time. And everyone knew and everyone saw. But older brother, Mr. Perfect, I think he was Martha on steroids, but he Jesus should have known better to let Mary sit at his feet. Disapproving, resentful. But it's all inside. Judgmental. You know, when people mess up and they come, they know they've messed up. They don't need us to drive it home any further. They know. And when they come into the house, we shouldn't be an older brother. Judge them some more. Disapprove. What did his father do? He welcomed him. Stench and all. Mess and all. He said, "This my son was lost, but now he's been found." And you know, in this story, you know, we need to locate ourselves in this story. Because the context, the whole of Luke 15, Jesus was talking about what was lost and then found. And any time you find what was lost, there was a celebration. And he was talking, the reason he was telling, that he told three parables, but this was the longest one, was because he was talking to tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious people were angry. They're saying, why is he talking to them? Why is he hanging out with them? Why is he sharing with them? So they were complaining to him. And then he told this story. Because you see, he was talking to both sets of people. The ones who rebel and leave home, and the ones who stay home and rebel in their heart. He was talking to both of them. And the tax collectors and the sinners, it was easy, you know, when you mess up, you know. So it was easy for them to locate themselves in the story. But the Bible doesn't tell us whether the religious people did locate themselves in the story. Because when we have issues of the heart, no one sees whether, you know, we think God owes me, I'm so good. God owes me a blessing. You know, the younger son had a sense of entitlement. So he asked for his entitlement and he took it. And the older son never actually took his entitlement. But he had a different sense of entitlement. You never gave me anything. I've been here all this time. I've served you. I've never done this. And sometimes we can be like that. In our hearts, God owes me. Because I'm the first person to open the church doors. And I clean the toilets. And I run the cafe. And I play the drums. And I play the keyboard. And I do this. And I do the PA. And I do this. And I do that. God owes me. And in that state, we distance ourselves from our Father. Because it's not about works. None of us can ever deserve his love. And he told that story so we can see that he doesn't remove it when we mess up. And we don't have it because we're good. It's because he is good. That's why. Some of us, you know, we think, all right, well, I haven't messed up. But have we been prodigal with the call on our life? I mean, I remember, this was, well, I think I probably brought it here a bit, but this was back in the Barnfield days. We used to have a little newsletter that they would put on your seat when you got to church. And I never read that newsletter, but I remember that at the back would say who was preaching for that month, offering and so on. And any time I got to my seat, I picked it up, turned over to make sure my name was not there. And if it was, I would call the church office on Monday to have a go at the church administrator as to why my name was there. And then they would say, oh no, it's Pastor Paul who does the rota. So then I would call Pastor Paul, why have you put my name on this rota? There's lots of people who want to do this. I'm not one of them. And that was my attitude, because I really didn't want to do it. I used to tell him, you're the preacher, I'm congregation. Preach, I'm listening. And I said, I do not wish to stand on the opposite side. I had no desire, you see. And eventually, I asked God for desire, because I just didn't want to. How many of us are running away, prodigal, from something that we're being called to do? And yet we think that we're not prodigal. Or being wasteful with resources that have been placed in our hands, and yet we do not think that we're being prodigal with the resources God has given us. Because we can reject the Father in many ways. Because both sons had actually rejected their father. The guy wasn't dead. Why are you asking for inheritance? Right now. And then you get it and you think, let me get as far away from him as possible. How do you think he felt? And I don't know. But it's important that we locate ourselves in this story. I don't know what we may be running away from, because it's inconvenient, or it's too hard, or it's too much. But that's prodigal. And it starts in the mind. It starts with not being satisfied with what we have. Not being happy with where we're at. Wanting more and thinking it's out there. And it's a slippery slope. Sometimes we physically leave, and sometimes we leave in our heart. And then the years go by. And I remember, you know, I often ask the Lord for, you know, I understand things in pictures, so I like him to explain things. I would say, Lord, in a way I will get it. And I remember he said to me once, you know, you come preloaded. And he said, you know, like a laptop, when you buy your laptop, the software is loaded on it. He said, you come preloaded. And so we've all come to this earth preloaded with what we are supposed to be and do. And the challenge is, what are we being prodigal with and about? What are we running from? Whilst we're still here in church. It's just a challenge. Just from this story. Where do I find myself with what the younger son did? And where do I find myself with what the older son did? Where's my heart? Do I feel God owes me? I'm entitled to the blessing. Because I'm here every Sunday, 9 o'clock and 11. So I'm entitled to the blessing. I'm so busy for God, I've got no time for him. Am I seeking his face, or am I seeking what's in his hand? It's a challenge to search our hearts and locate ourselves. Am I being prodigal with my gifts? Because I'm scared. Or it's inconvenient. What kind of reluctance do I have? Can we be on our feet, please? And even as I was speaking, I know the Lord is speaking to our hearts, I know. It's a good opportunity to just shut our eyes and speak to Him. Because the story tells us about a father who loves both his sons unconditionally. So wherever we feel we might have messed up, he says, come home, come. Whatever we may have held back or wasted, he says, come. Just receive my love. And when we become so busy and work so hard and so dutiful and so obedient and so self-righteous that we judge those whose sins are different from ours, those whose sins are external so we can see, he's calling on us to judge ourselves. But he's saying, you'll never earn my love. I love you anyway. So come to the party. Just receive my love. Receive my love. Receive my love. Father, we say, we're coming home, Lord. And we want to say thank you for your unconditional love, Lord. Father, if we've been too busy working for you that we've forgotten how to have fun, then Lord, today we say, we lay aside, Lord God, duty and come home to you and receive your love. And Father, wherever we've messed up, Lord, again we come home, Lord. We come to ourselves and we come back home. We thank you for receiving us, Lord God, and we thank you for your unconditional love. And Father, we declare that we will embrace, Father God, every prodigal that comes home, Lord. We will receive them with love and not judgment in this house. In Jesus' name, amen.